Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Women's basketball. This is something that T wanted to bring up last week, and we both were sitting there looking at each other, forgot all about it. Didn't bring it up, so we're gonna visit it this week. Candace Parker, WNBA superstar Candace Parker for the LA Sparks, was left off the 2016 U.S. Olympic basketball team. A lot of different people out there, you know, giving their two cents on why this was, why this could happen. I, not knowing anything about the situation, just a pure guess on my part. I'm going to guess she was probably difficult to deal with, probably had some demands. Gino, not really having that. Coach Gino Auriemma, the U.S. team, probably wasn't really having it. What do you suggest?
Well, I don't think that because she don't play on two other ones that he has coached. So
correct.
I don't think she would just lose her mind on, like, this year and say, oh, I want this, oh, I want that. I just don't see how. I saw in the past that it seemed like the number one pick has always somehow wound up on this Olympic team.
Right.
I don't think that should necessarily be the case just because you was the number one pick. So these women have been grinding for women's basketball for years and years and years. And so, like, the kid that they got from UConn, like, did she get the nod because she's one of his, and Candace happens not to play for UConn? Because Candace got to be better than her. Candace can play as many positions. So you can't say, like, Candace don't want gold, she don't want Rookie of the Year in the WNBA. So what are you saying? Candace has had won national championships in women's college basketball. So I don't know how you can just... I don't know what measuring stick that gave her to not over Candace if they were coming down to the last two picks. Like,
yeah, and one of the reasons that was given for her to be left off the team was, you know, just a numbers game with that position. But like you just said, Candace Parker can play multiple positions.
So start with the foolishness. She can play 3, 4, and 5. So, no. Don't even give me that. You tell some basketball don't know, but I know enough about basketball, and I don't think Candace Parker play enough to know that she can play and she can defend all three of those positions.
Right.
So that's just some foolishness. Now, how many UConn kids on this Olympic team?
Let's see, there's Brianna Stewart, Maya Moore, Tina Charles, I want to say there's a couple more.
Tarazi,
yes. Sue Bird, I believe. And I want to say Stephanie Dawson. I may be wrong on that, but I know there's at least five.
Okay, so how is that? And I ain't even saying for Candace. It's just for all UConn players, just better than the rest of these kids that's out here. And I thought I shouldn't say kids. These young women,
right.
No. Taraji, yeah, easy. She bad. Maya, did you say Maya?
Maya Moore, mm-hmm.
Good. I'm good with. again, Breonna Stewart, she was good in college, but she shouldn't be on here if she's taking away a spot from somebody like Candace or whoever else that tried out that's older than her and that put in more work. Matter of fact, she the only youngin on here. The rest of them, Maya 26, that's 25, Brittany Grinder, Bella Dunn, Lord.
Right.
I don't see how this kid got this spot.
Yeah, I don't think it'll cost them. I think they're still gonna win the gold medal.
They gonna win. That ain't the issue.
But I just feel like that she should be on this team and she deserves it. She was, you know, she come out and said that she was blindsided by it. So it'll be interesting. You know, the story's gonna come out eventually. Everything always makes its way to the surface. The only thing in history that has never made its way to the surface is what happened to Jimmy Hoffa.
What's his name? Punch that guy at the Blake Griffin post. It ain't came out yet.
Don't worry. That's still fresh. That'll come out.
Still fresh. Okay.
Yeah, that'll come out. Don't worry about it. Moving on. Still in women's basketball. That's the issue that we've talked about in the past. University of Kentucky head coach Matthew Mitchell has had a little string of rough times since the 2000, and they continue to win. Let me not say they're not winning. They continue to win. Continue to be successful, but since the end of 2014-15 season, Mitchell has lost, I believe the last count was 6 players to transfer. One coach quit mid-season. 2 other ones have left on their own. No, 2 other ones have been fired, excuse me. He stated publicly that he takes full responsibility and has to do a better job. They've had some commitments decommit. Recently, some coaching staff changes or some additions. He'd added Tyra Elzey, who was on his staff before, who came back from Tennessee and where she's been the last couple years as an assistant. And that's where she played basketball, obviously. And then Nia Butts rejoins the Kentucky coaching staff after she's been almost a decade of as the head coach in Arizona. So hopefully they can come in and kind of help him, you know, get this thing back on the right track. I don't know what's going on.
What's the deal? Why?
Right. Don't have any inside information. I personally love Matthew Mitchell. Every time I've interacted with him, we've been, you know, he's been great.
Yeah, he seems cool, like a cool cat. Now, that's knowing him from just being a player, and he was like, you know, coaching at Florida and everything when I was coming to basketball camps. But other than that, I don't really know him.
Right. So I hope that he can get things, you know, going and get things on the right track again. He only has 6 scholarship players right now. So it'll be interesting to see how he feels the rest of those spots so late in the recruiting game. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Kyra Elzey seems been named associate head coach.
Mm-hmm. So
did she play for him?
She was on the team when he was a GA at Tennessee.
Okay, because I knew I'd seen her somewhere before. Okay.
Yeah, he was the Pats GA at Tennessee at the time when she was playing.
So who didn't he? He don't been there well.
But let's see, moving on to the NBA, and before I bring anything else up, I just got a breaking news bulletin that Stephen Curry is going to be named the MVP for the second straight season.
First of all, that ain't no breaking news. Next, go ahead. Breaking news.
Who
didn't know that?
Listen.
If you had told us somebody else, we'd have been like, oh, that is breaking news. Okay, go ahead.
So getting into our NBA topics, I want to get your thoughts on a rumor I heard circulating the newswire of a possibility of the Los Angeles Lakers trading whatever pick they get, you know, within the top 2 or 3 to the Indiana Pacers for the rights to Paul George.
Go sit down. Do what everybody else had to do and rebuild. I like Paul George, but Paul George is not going to get much better than he is now. I mean, he's 26, 27. He's not going to get much better. I mean, that's just what it is. Now, you don't know what you're going to get in these rookies, but you still got these high ceilings for both of them. They big bodies. Both of them look like they got good potential. I just go ahead and bid. I know he's trying to, he as in Jim Buss is trying to hurry up and because he got one more year before his sister's supposed to fire him or he going to quit, whichever happened first.
Right.
But the only reason that's probably came up is because he know maybe somebody want to come and be a free agent and come now with Paul George there instead of having a bunch of young folks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I'm sure Jim, like you say, he's trying to make that big splash so he don't get ousted by his family and public pressure.
That's all that is. Yeah. And according to Mitch Kupchak, he is just, he is acting as if they're going to lose the pick. That's what he said.
Oh, no.
And so he is making plans as what they're going to do if they don't get the top. One of the top three picks.
I will say that the NBA wouldn't let that happen, but the NBA did stop Chris Paul from being traded there.
And they owe us.
Look, I'm bringing up old movies.
Yeah, they owe us. I'm still not happy. They almost ruined Lamar Odom's life.
Man, you putting it all on
the NBA fault.
Yeah, because that boy got mad about being traded.
Yeah.
And then just went on a downward spiral.
And everything went downhill after that.
Yeah.
Moving
on to the playoffs. This past weekend, the Cleveland Cavaliers finished up their series with the Atlanta Hawks, and they moved on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Except for Game 4, the first three games, they hit an ungodly amount of three-pointers and tying the record at one point. Are breaking the record, I believe, for most three-pointers in the game. They've been on a roll this entire playoffs. Do you see them losing a game before the finals?
They probably lose one. The other two people that they could potentially play are going to be better than Atlanta or the... Yeah. Who they played in the first round?
No, I can't even remember at this point. Who was it?
Okay, so either way, they're going to be better than him. See, that's how bad it was.
Yeah.
It was Detroit.
Detroit, thank you. Yes.
Either one of them are going to be better than Detroit. So, they probably lose one, maybe two. But they better stop thinking they are Golden State 2.0. Because you fall in love with them threes. That's what Golden State been doing all year. Y'all haven't been doing that.
Right.
Y'all fall into that trap if you want to.
I think they'll have a harder time if they face Miami in the next round, even without Chris Bosh, who we'll get to in a minute. But even without Chris Bosh, I think Miami still has a little bit of a... let it be a bias of mine, I don't care. I don't think LeBron is that strong mentally.
Well, I think that if Hassan Whiteside or whatever his name is.
Ah, yes. I forgot about that.
If he is not healthy, they don't want to play him. But if he is and can protect the rim, that's another story.
Yeah.
And that's when them threes are coming to play. Like OKC, which we hadn't talked about yet, beating up on San Antonio. One of the things that Kawhi said was, yes, and when they did miss any threes, they were getting a rebound. And when you have a big boy presence and a big body presence like Whiteside, you don't have to worry about that many offensive rebounds. He's snagging like 20, 15 rebounds. So with him missing, Lord, and Udonis has him, but I didn't even know he was still playing. If you got to put him in.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. We had no idea that Udonis was even on the team still.
So they need to be praying somewhere. They should have went to church yesterday and about that one.
Yeah, I forgot about Whiteside and his knee sprain, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I brought up Chris Bosh, and as far as him, the situation is, I guess, for all intents and purposes, has been resolved at this point. They've come out and made a statement that he will be out for the rest of the playoffs, dealing with his different blood clot issues, things like that. There was a point last week in the last couple weeks, honestly, where him, his wife, people close to him, were all trying to get this movement started to get the Miami Heat to let him play. He wanted to play. He'd been off the blood thinners for X amount of weeks. I think Miami did the right thing. Just all involved, I think they did the right thing by holding him out, because we do not need to see this man die on national TV, which is something that could have happened. And we just don't need to see something like that happen.
Well, you know what? I was going to say, you men are crazy, but I guess there's some women out there too like this. Sit down somewhere. You don't have to play for money, because you don't need the money. Like, they've been paying you for these games you've been missing this year. You got millions of dollars from Toronto when you was there. You got millions from them. You seeing more money, and you should have more account. Most people don't get in their lifetime.
Right.
Go sit down. Get a job at Fox or ESPN or somewhere and just talk about the game. Why risk your life when you don't have to?
Right.
Now, if you were some rookie out there and you ain't making a lot of money and this your first couple of years and you just come from, you know, the ghetto or something, and poverty stricken, and you just trying to do whatever you can to help your family, that's another story. I still don't want you to risk your life, but I can see it then, if that's the case. Like, you know, you don't have a lot of money, you're trying to make it and you're trying to do something. Dude, you got, like, you don't need it. You got championship rings, you got two of them. Stuff that most players that have been playing for years are not going to ever be able to say.
Right.
What? Why risk your life for a game? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like you said, his financial situation, I'm sure, is just fine. He got that $110 million that he's going to continue to be able to get because of insurance policies and things.
And haven't he been in the league like 10 or something, 11 years?
Yeah, he played a
bunch. So he's going to get whatever that little thing you get after you make the 10-year mark.
Right.
Stop it. Stop.
Yeah. That's going to put a little wrap on this segment. As I forgot to mention at the beginning of the episode, when we come back, obviously this is our Mother's Day edition. We have a couple of special guests that's going to join us for the next couple segments. But that's for the other side. And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Mother's Day this past weekend, actual holiday. But the last couple weeks, the movie Mother's Day has been out, which is the third installment of famed director Gary Marshall's holiday-themed pictures that include Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve. It stars Julia Roberts, who Marshall directed in classic movies such as Pretty Woman and Runaway Bride. You got Jennifer Aniston, most notably from Friends and We're the Millers. Jason Sudeikis, from Horrible Bosses and was alongside Aniston in We're the Millers. Kate Hudson is notably from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Almost Famous, also Goldie Hawn's daughter. I'm going to butcher this next name, I'm sure. But Asif Manvi, who is known from The Proposal and The Internship. Hector Elizondo, who is known from Pretty Woman and Princess Diaries. Timothy Oliphant from The League and The Office. He's been on.
Okay, I don't think all these people this important, Brian.
I'm just going through the main.
It ain't 20 main characters, Brian. It's never 20 main characters.
I'm just getting the main crux out of it.
Okay.
Oh, so at this time, let's go ahead and introduce our special guest for this segment, who is getting on my nerves as I try to read off my notes,
Lord.
And she's looking at my phone. But anyway, my mother, Connie McKay, Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is great to be a part of the Mac and T Show.
This will be your first and last appearance on the Mac and T Show.
Thank you very much.
First and last.
So, you know, you're right. You were listing out these stars, but it was really a lot of fun. I can see why it wasn't ranked very high, rated very high, because it was just like Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve. But this movie, unlike those, you find yourself with this ensemble of comedy, which Gary Marshall produced. But it's a celebration of mothers everywhere. And when I say that, y'all, it was like five different characters going on, as all the other shows have done in the past. But they all come together a week before Valentine's Day, but they all have a heartfelt story. I mean, for example, Kate Hudson, her family didn't even know she was married. But she was married to... someone of a different diversity of hers.
Yeah, that I see Mandy.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say that name.
I know I probably screwed it up, but that's close as I'm gonna get.
And they even had a child, and you know, and she didn't. I don't know what the reason was. Maybe thinking her family's old fashioned, and maybe so. But at the end, they fall in love, and I'm like, I can't tell the story. So I'm sorry, I bleeped that out there. But anyway, it's just how.
No,
all
you
these,
can tell it. Look,
no, we tell all the time. Go ahead.
I don't care. Probably not going to watch it. Go on and tell me what happened.
Okay. And, of course, Aniston's character, she's stressed out because her ex-husband is marrying a very, very young lady. And so there's her stressor. And then, of course, you've got Jason Sudeikis. Am I saying his name right?
Sudeikis.
Mm-hmm. He is a pretty cool guy. He's raising two children by himself. And his wife was Jennifer Garner. Now,
I forgot about you.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner. She's a small part in there, but that's all I'll say because I won't learn that. But he is raising his two daughters.
Right.
Yep. And then, of course, Jennifer Hudson, she's a fitness. Well, we're going to talk about her being her family didn't know who, you know, that she was married. But then there's Julia Roberts. She did play a pretty good part in this show. She was a very sophisticated with the pretty woman bob. Remember that? You might see pictures of her. She had the bob, the different color. And but she's too busy to have with her career to have children. But is it an interesting take how it turns in the end? What happens and is discovered? What Julia Roberts didn't was she found along the way, and it wasn't a husband, it wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman. It was something I can't spoil it. T, call me and I'll tell you the rest of it.
Okay.
So, with that being said, it's a cute movie, and it finds you laughing, and all of a sudden you do. There was parts where I did tear up because it was...
Oh, I see it. She found her daughter. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you must have looked and said, yeah, she did. She did. She found
and
her
I just
daughter.
Guessed that from the trailer because this kid just popped up at a book sign. But
yeah,
go ahead.
That's it. That's her daughter. It is her daughter. And so that's kind of good. But then you find yourself laughing and then all of a sudden tearing up, even having to wipe the tears away because, again, it's about mothers. It's mothers of all cultures. It's mothers of how they feel and how their children feel. And, again, they all come together at the a week before, and that's where it all comes together. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it goes along. Apparently, it's going along the line of the Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, where they got a bunch of different interwinding plots going on, and eventually they all kind of culminate.
That's exactly what it was.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to know why this little boy was peeing in his lady pocketbook.
Well, there's a lot of that goes on. A lot of things that you go, what? Yeah, okay. So there were some bad kids in that movie.
Some bad kids. There
bad
we
kids,
go.
As you can imagine. Some people just don't tend to their kids very well. But, yeah, that's what he was doing.
I'm like, what the world? And she's just looking over there like, oh, it's okay.
See,
she ain't going to get it.
You know, you see parents like that with kids doing crazy stuff. You just want to say, get a hold of your kids. There's some of that in it, too.
Yeah. Okay, but you got to tell me why. Cause this daughter looked like she in her teens. So how do you not know where she's been? She been with the daddy.
Well, she did. She got pregnant when she was young. Couldn't keep the baby. Mom said, "Take, you know, we have to get rid of the baby." So there you go. So they connect in the end.
Okay.
And then she has a grandchild. How about that?
Wait a minute.
The daughter was pregnant. She marries this really, I don't know who this actor is, but he's very good. And he's probably been there before, but he's a very young guy. And he's a comedian in the show. And they, evidently he wants to marry her, but she doesn't want to marry him. But, you know, in the end, she on TV gets down on her knee and says, "Would you please marry me?" Julia Roberts walks her down the aisle holding the grandbaby, which is a funny sight because she looks very awkward holding the baby, keeps falling off her hip. But it's pretty, that there's some funny stuff, just like the Valentine's Day and just like, you know, New Year's Eve. But it, again,
I hope it's better than New Year's Eve because I didn't really like that on the Valentine's Day when I liked, but New Year's Eve when I didn't really like so much.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I wouldn't go buy the movie off of Apple TV or whatever you buy it off of, Mac.
You do like T does. Wait till they get to about 25 cents. And
yeah.
Then.
That's what you do, T. I wouldn't go buy it. I'm gonna go see it again. And I don't know that I'd say, "Hey, T, go watch it." It's just my mom and my daughter went, so we just kind of had a Mother's Day outing, actually. So we enjoyed that part. So that's when it's good to go with your mother and your daughter, I guess.
Okay, there's something to do. Okay, yeah. Okay. Because I really didn't have it on my list of things to do, so.
It's okay. It gets a one star, and I guess that's where it belongs.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I did see a one star. Did you, Brian?
Yeah. And Dad is the one that brought the one star to my attention. You know, I don't necessarily, I give my own stars to movies. So I don't worry about what other people think.
But. Rotten Tomatoes, give a one star. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see the people voted. What the people vote? Because sometimes Rotten Tomatoes give you a bad rating. People like it. Oh, the audience gave it a 55%. So that's not bad.
No, yeah. When you look online, like there's some reviews that are real critical of it, and there's others like, you know, it's a good, like Mom was saying, it's a good movie to take your mom to on Mother's Day, basically. And I ain't gonna talk about their whole Mother's Day experience, but there was a picture that was posted on Facebook of them, all three of their feet after their pedicure. And I told them, I said, their feet so ugly, I couldn't decide whose was who.
He better stop it. They were beautiful. They were so pretty. They were so pretty. You couldn't tell, could you? Except Mama's feet.
I could tell Grandma's, because Grandma got the little foot. I could tell hers apart, but Mom and Laura, I couldn't tell apart, because both of them got the long finger toes and a little bitty
finger toes.
A little bitty pinky at the end.
Lord, how
Well, it's been great being a part of the show. T, thank you for the Mother's Day text. I always appreciate it. Look forward to your text messages.
Yeah.
And if any of you get a chance to go out on YouTube, you can see Brian's Mother's Day card sent to me. He made personally.
That's right.
It's nice.
Mother's Day video. That's what happened. That's what you do when you don't have any money.
Video.
Yeah, that's what you do when you don't have any money to spend. You create on your own. Yeah.
Oh, it was great, though. I loved it. Thank you very much, B-Mac.
Well, that's going to put an end to this segment. We will be back on the other side with another special guest for our Empire review. But that's for the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, would you like to introduce our guest?
This is T. It's great to be a Florida Gator Davis with her mother, Patricia Armour. Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Miss Armour's going to join us on our Empire segment today. Let's see, and I'm just going to kind of quickly run through some different plot points, and I'll get Miss Armour's take on it. First one, the family song for the Aces that was presented to showrunner D. Majors. After joking about it last week, I really do believe that the Lions are clearly the first family of music. They proved that to me on this episode because they argue, and I mean, just all out in front of D. Majors, who is this guy who can literally shut them down from performing on the Aces if he wanted to. And they just, they don't care. They're arguing with each other, Cookie calling Lucius fat and all this other good stuff. The song that they were intending to sing for the Aces kept changing throughout the episode. finally culminating with a song, choosing a song that Lucius and his mother actually had their only sweet moment in the whole episode, where they were playing and singing it together at a piano. When Lucius and Hakeem and Jamal actually perform the song for D Majors, he loves it, and he obviously gives them their spot. D Majors and Jamal have a huge hot and heavy moment in the studio where, you know, they kind of, you know, I don't want to say too much, but they, you know, they kind of feeling each other a little bit.
But you got to give Jamal, you got to wait a minute. You got to remember Jamal did not want to do it. Let's slap him upside the head.
Right.
He want to do what he want to do. But go on.
But what do you think about the song?
Oh, I loved it. The song was great.
Me too.
It really did. Yeah. It came together, brought them together.
Yeah, and which was shocking to me because they just at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think is for? Obviously, D Majors and Jamal, they're having their little thing together. D Majors don't want to be out yet, obviously. You know, that's the big hiccup in their thing. What do you think is going to come from that?
I think that he's going to keep playing behind the scenes with them the whole time. But also, I think Jamal just going to get what he want out of him. That's mostly his point. But he's, you know, he's young in the game, and that's the way he acted with the whole thing. I'm like, you know that man ain't thinking about you.
Right.
What's your problem? You saw how he got mad at him when he ignored him and all? Didn't he tell you he didn't want nobody to know? So don't come at him in the public, because it ain't going to work.
Right, especially with Jamal. Jamal just kind of going through the same little thing with, you know, his little fling with Sky.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, he ain't that young and immature.
Right. The next...
Before he came out, he remember how people were. But she said, yes, yes.
Yeah. Let's see. The next thing I want to get to, and I just labeled it in my notes, a thirsty friendship. And I just want to say this, if I'm ever in a situation where I need some shady stuff done to take care of it, I want me a friend like Thirsty. T, what do you call it? Pimp named Slickback, yes. He has Harper abducted by some, you know, some of his thugs. But it should be noted that one of her heels fell off, and as we're left at the scene, something could come from that. But this guy here is shady, dirty, but he gets some stuff done. What do you think? Do you think that's going to play in, and I'll get to the FBI agent in a little bit, but do you think that's going to play in with her shoe being left at the scene? You think that's going to play into his investigation?
That, and also, I'm thinking when he did it, okay, like you said, the shoe left there. How many cameras in the area? You know, everybody looking at cameras on different buildings and all nowadays to put him at the spot. But everything he do, he get away with it. Nobody seems to know where he ever is. So, hey, it's going to be something else in the end.
Right.
But I want to know where she is, because we ain't seen her since then.
Yeah, it just implied that, you know, maybe he had her off, but she didn't, you know, she didn't die in the scene, obviously.
Right. They need to let us know what's going on. Was this not the last episode for the season, or did we have one more?
We got one more. This coming up this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That'll work then.
As long as he don't do one of them crazy, run through everything that he think he can and clean up all the mess like he did that first time.
Right.
No, he even worse. Remember, he done grabbed Mama. He shouldn't take Mama off for Lucius.
After that cake scene, he might need to take her out for a loose wind-up day.
I mentioned the FBI agent who we find out name is Tariq. Candace and Carol, you know, they're meeting and talking about different things. And Carol tells Candace that she needs a little bit more time to make things right with everyone. Comes to find out, Carol, while Cookie was in jail. Carol helped Lucius murder some people. So that's weighing heavily on her mind. That's why she's trying to get back, you know, in good graces. Candace doesn't want her to tell Cookie because, as Candace referred to her, we don't need Hurricane Cookie going category 5 on everybody. Tariq, the FBI agent, is listening to their conversation at the next table. Later on in the episode, we see him approach Carol at a bar, who obviously Carol just got through going through her little rehab stint. She's sitting at the bar, and Tariq even makes notice that she has not drank not one sip of her drink. It's, you know, the ice is completely melted in the drink, and so she's clearly just sitting there, you know, contemplating drinking, but never does. Comes out that Tariq is, you know, from their past in Philly. She asked, Carol asked him if he's working for the NYPD. He said no, he quit the force. But as we see in the episode, we see his badge, his FBI badge. We see in the previews for next week that Cookie is going to approach him and tell him she knows he's working for the feds. Where do you see this going? Is it going to be something where he's after Cookie? Is he after Lucius? Is he after everybody? I mean,
he's after everybody, but the point, the sister being all gangster like she all that, you don't know this guy, he's not interested in you. After all these years that she, like, she, I believe she really went and told him everything.
Yeah, I think she ran her mouth.
It's on, because she don't know who she's talking to. Even Cookie told her, he is not straight, he is dead. She not listening. So when they all go down, it's going to be interesting this week.
Somebody dies. I don't know who it's gonna be, but
I can't wait to see
it. Yes. Next topic I had was, and I made just a little hashtag Rhonda knows, as in Rhonda knows who pushed her. Rhonda knows she was pushed. So
yes, she
is accidentally bumped by some movers while she's at Anika's house, and they're moving things in Anika's house. She has a flashback when she's bumped of somebody pushing her in the back when she falls down the stairs. Later on, her and Anika are talking. She has another flashback when she sees the bottom of Anika's shoes, the red bottom. Has a flashback of the killer, the pusher, leaving the scene with the red bottom shoes. Grace Geely, who plays Anika, has posted on Twitter repeatedly that Anika is not the one that pushed Rhonda.
I don't think it's too easy for it to be her. It's got to be somebody else.
So there's going to be a swerve. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be interesting to see where that goes.
A pimp named Slickback had them shoes on while he was doing
it. No, it was Anika. But the thing about it, she thinks she's gotten away. You saw her expression when she brought up the situation, and I'm like, yeah, she know you did it.
Right,
she don't know how to approach her with.
Right, when Rhonda tells her that, you know, she remembers being pushed, Anika kind of like gets his little startled look, like, oh, I thought you said you weren't pushed, you know?
Yeah.
So that's,
and she know who did it. She figuring, but she ain't put it together yet. When that baby come, or when she think about that baby, she gonna realize she pushed her, because they said he gonna want a Lion King, and that's gonna be her baby. She was determined for that.
Yes, indeed. So that's gonna be interesting. My last topic I had titled "Mama Walker Goes 0 to 100 real quick," because let's see. I just kind of run it down. Andre should have, in my mind, Andre should have rethought his decision about even bringing his grandma into the picture when he saw her go nuts at bingo at the nursing home.
Oh,
she lost in bingo, and she threw a fit. She threw stuff everywhere.
See, they should have left her out.
Now, I have seen elderly folks play bingo, so I know this is common in some way.
Let's be real about it, but still.
Right. Let's see. Obviously, Andre.
She went above and beyond what she did. I got a ring.
Yeah, I'd have left the scene right there.
What'd she do?
Oh, she threw her little pieces and her game boards everywhere and just screamed out loud, and it was a scene. He clearly has his ulterior motives for bringing her in. He's feeling betrayed by Lucius, and wants to get back at him. Mama Walker, real sweet and innocent, first seeing Lucius, and like I said last week in my predictions, I felt like he was going to be a scared little child, and he was. He cowered down real quick, and it all kind of culminated at the end of the episode when Lucius comes downstairs 3 o'clock in the morning, see his mama cooking all kind of cakes and pies. Yeah, so
eat the cake, anime.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, Lord, this is a reverse Ike and Tina here.
That's amazing.
Basically they have a little back and forth where she calls him a liar and pretty much tells him that everything bad that's happened to her in her life is because of him. Yeah, blames him for everything. And she flashes that knife and just going back and forth with each other. Let's see. I'll just go ahead and the last little bit, she asked him if he loved her, and he nodded yes or whatever, and she said, "Liar, if you loved me, you wouldn't have put me away for 21 years." And he said, "You were sick, you said so yourself," and she tells him, "I was sick, now I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was too weak to kill you when I had the chance."
That's why I'm afraid.
Yeah, she licks that cream off that knife and it looked like a real killer.
Lord have mercy.
I'm afraid for Lucius. He better be afraid for himself.
Yeah,
I
text T, even though I knew T was long asleep by the time that point in the episode. I said, somebody call the cops and send them to Lucius because Kizzy is gone nuts. Kizzy is gone rogue. This is going to be interesting.
I just want to know who gets shot. That's all.
Yeah, that's going to be the big crux in this episode this week is who gets shot, who gets gunned down.
And I hope he don't pull that. I told you he seemed like he liked Dallas when he was younger. And I hope he don't pull that who killed JR and have somebody get shot and that be the end and don't tell you who and you got to wait the whole next fall.
But hopefully he don't go that route because like you said, it is the last show of the season. You leave us hanging like that? Oh, please. Yeah. But they do all kind of crazy stuff now. I'm upset about a few things going on in the television industry. But hopefully he got sense enough to go on and give us something to go on next season to bring us back and think we're going to have something worthwhile. But I got a point. I'm sick and tired of people thinking that they're doing too much music. It's about music. Why would they be doing too much?
Right. I like the music aspect of it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. What did you make this show?
Yeah, the show is about music. That's just stupid. Like, what else they gonna do?
Yes.
This is about musicians and the music industry. Why else would they?
Have that in it. I mean, I really hope that this don't end like last season where I had a headache at the end of the episode because there were so many different plot twists and turns and have me a big oh my gosh ending at the end and let that be it.
Yeah.
But
No, he gonna do the same because this past week was the same. They were all over the place.
Yes.
It's just like he's not sure what he want to do. But he's just trying a little bit of everything. It was good. I ain't gonna take that from it.
When
they brought Mama in, I think she took the cake. Because like Lucius told that boy, you don't know what you brought. Yeah. You can take a pill and be all right. I'm sure at the nurse home, they're getting her medicine. She'd be killing it.
She took the cake. No pun intended. Well, that's going to put a wrap on things for us. Mama, we want to thank you for coming on with us today.
You guys have a good one, and I'm going to get out. Peace.
Okay.
Y'all take care. I got to get ready.
All right. Bye-bye, Mama.
Later.
that's going to put a wrap on our show today. I hope everyone enjoyed our Mother's Day edition. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
See, it is great to be a Florida Gator Davis. Thank y'all for coming out.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially both of ours. And thank them for coming on the show today.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.